that blessed us with this past week for Pastor's Appreciation, and we thank God, and it's a privilege to be here. Amen. Amen. You know, in 1 Samuel, it says that David left the sheep with a keeper when he went to go fight Goliath, so I'm the keeper. And our David is about to kill Goliath and chop his head off. So y'all just stay steady and get ready to stomp some demon Philistines under your feet. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. You're Bible illiterate, but Jesus loves you anyway. But it talks about David, who was a short fella, and he went up against Goliath, who was about 10 to 13 feet tall, depending on how you interpret the cubit, and he took him down. Hallelujah. And Jesus was the secret behind David. It was not his singular ability to hurl a rock with a sling. He said, "The Lord who delivered the lion and bear into my hands, he'll deliver this giant into my hands, this uncircumcised Philistine who has no covenant with God." But you and I have a covenant with God. In other words, Jesus and you are in covenant, and he treats an attack on you as an attack on him. Some of you never had a big brother, but I tell you, Jesus is our big brother. Amen. Yeah. And the devil may be bigger than us, but I tell you what, he's not bigger than our big brother. Amen. Hallelujah. And all you say is Jesus, and Jesus is here to help. Amen. How many do you believe Jesus is here to help you this morning? Amen. See, I'm the keeper, but I'm pointing you to the keeper of your soul, the Lord Jesus Christ. My job is to get your eyes on Jesus. I'm not the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. I'm not the healer. Jesus is the healer. I'm not the deliverer. Jesus is the deliverer. Amen? No man is your strength. Get your eyes on Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. The devil is defeated, and you and I can rule in life through Jesus Christ. Now, like it or not, we're in the middle of a spiritual battle that has raged since the beginning of time. You may be wondering, why am I having so many problems in life? Well, we must not be naive and think that we're just strolling and stumbling through life. God put us here, and he put us here for a purpose. Now, just let me go back in time a little bit. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Doesn't the Bible say that? That's Genesis 1, verse 1. And the Bible says that God made all the angels and the archangels. And we know that there's an archangel named Michael. And he's over the warrior angels. And he's on one side up there in glory. And then there's another angel named Gabriel. And he's over the word division. If God wants the word out, Gabriel took the word to Daniel, to Zechariah, to Mary. And then God made another archangel named Lucifer, and he said, Lucifer, you be right in the middle here before my throne. You're in charge of worship. So you had the warrior angels, the word angels, and right in the middle, the worship angels. And Lucifer said after a while, it might have taken him a day. I don't know how long he stayed there. The Bible doesn't tell us specifically. But he decided, I think I'd rather be God myself. Right. He said, I think I would like to take over this whole thing, matter of fact. And just have all the worship go straight to me. And God basically said, bye-bye, that's not happening. And so Lucifer and the third of angels that were with him were cast out of heaven. And so there's a void in heaven. You ready for this delicious morsel? God's idea is that you and I take center stage in heaven and hallelujah. Worship Jesus. Hallelujah. Where Lucifer was. Now, that's Lucifer right. Decided... He had this enmity, this hatred against God in his heart. It's irreconcilable, and don't get your hopes up. He's not going to change. I know Pastor Brian talked about the benefits of change. This is one fellow that's not going to change. He is not. He can't be saved. He can't be redeemed. The Bible says that God made hell for the devil and his angels. And so the devil is eternally at war against God. Now, the problem for the devil is that he's the eternal loser because God is the creator. You understand the devil is a created being. Lucifer is a created being, and he made himself into the devil. So God didn't create evil. So get your thinking straight about that. But when Adam and Eve came along in the Garden of Eden, the first man and the first woman, the first husband and the first wife, and notice he didn't make them Adam and Steve. He made them Adam and Eve. And he said, I need you all to be able to reproduce. And I'm not trying to be funny, but in all seriousness, if he'd made them Adam and Steve, they never would have been able to reproduce. Homosexuality is not the plan of God for any person. Now, do we love homosexuals? Yes, we love them. I love them enough to tell them the truth. Amen. Now, if you lie to them and tell them that God loves you just the way you are and, you know, that it's no big deal, that's not, you're not loving them. You're lying to them. I'm not going to lie to people. I love you enough to tell you the truth. But you understand, sin is sin. And everybody is a sinner. Everybody needs a Savior. So I can't, you know, point fingers at anybody and say, well, you need a Savior. Well, there are three coming back at me, Carl. Well, you need a Savior, you need a Savior, and you need a Savior. I do need a Savior. Amen. Yes. But having said that, God made Adam and Eve. And the Bible says Eve was deceived. Adam deliberately defied God. In other words, Adam did what Lucifer did. He said, I want to be God. The issue wasn't an apple. The issue was authority. Adam said, I want to be God. I want to make the rules. See that? So God said, you're out of the garden. And then the day he kicked him out of the garden, just like he kicked Lucifer out of heaven, God said to the devil, to the serpent, I will put enmity between you, between your seed and her seed. In other words, the seed of the woman will come and bruise your head, but you'll crush his heel. Yeah. Now, that's picturesque language, but it involves three things. It involves the incarnation of Jesus. Mm-hmm. The seed of the woman means there's going to be an incarnation. God will become flesh. Yeah. Jesus is the Word made flesh. The devil, you'll be able to bruise his heel. That's the crucifixion. But then he'll bruise or crush your head. That's the resurrection. So you've got all three, incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection, in that first messianic prophecy. So the devil said to himself, oh, there's going to be a seed of the woman. He said, I'm going to mess this up. I wonder who it's going to be. Well, the devil doesn't know because he's not that smart. He's got rocks for brains. And so he said, I'm going to just have to try to listen in and see who God talks to and try to narrow this thing down. And after a while, God said to a man named Abram, who lived in Ur of the Chaldees, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, this is Genesis 12, 1 to 3, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And Abram got all happy, and the devil said, aha, I've pinpointed the source of the problem. This seed that's supposed to crush my head is going to come through this man. And he's happened to be married to a lovely lady. You'll meet her one day in heaven, provided you go there. I assume, I trust all of you will be going there. He married a lovely lady named Sarai, S-A-R-A-I. And the devil said, I'll shut her womb. And he did. You see, the reason I said all that was to try to set up the subject of where you are in your life right now. The fact that Sarah was barren was not just a natural fluke. It was demonic. It was the devil saying there won't be a seed coming into this earth. You see, if it wasn't about, it wasn't just about Abram and Sarai having a baby. This is the bottom line. If they don't get a baby, you and I don't get a Savior. If she doesn't get pregnant, we don't get salvation. And so you're wondering, how come I have all these problems in my life? Because the devil, though he was defeated by Jesus, still works to thwart the purposes of God. He wants to stop God's blessings from coming to you and from pouring through you. The devil and God are enemies, and you're right in the middle. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this darkness of this world, against wicked spirits in the high places. And the Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Well, how do you fight an enemy you can't see? How do you fight an enemy you can't feel, that you can't contact with your physical senses? You need a sixth sense, faith. Faith works, oh, you ought to write this down. Faith works by right living, right believing, and right speaking. Amen. Write this one down. Right living, right believing, and right speaking open the door to the supernatural power of God. Hallelujah. I better go over that again. Right, faith works by right living, right believing, and right speaking. Need all three. Right living, right believing, and right speaking open the door to the supernatural power of God. So you can't fight the devil with your fists. You know, I was raised Lutheran, and they were fond of telling a story about how Martin Luther saw an apparition of the devil in his monastery cell, and he hurled a bottle of ink at the devil. That's sort of amusing to me. You can't hit a spirit, a disembodied spirit, which is what the devil is, with a physical object. You throw, you know, somebody says, I'll just throw the Bible at the devil. You can't hit him. You can't hit him that way. But if you speak the word of God, you hit him. You win the fight of faith by winning the war of words. Aha. So you can't fight the devil with your fists. Listen closely now. You need to learn to call the things that be not as though they were. And I want to work with that this morning. Let's go back to our fellow Abram and Sarai, whom you know as Abraham and Sarah, but they didn't start out in life that way. God came to them and he said, man, he said, I've got to get the seed into the earth. The devil has her womb shut up. But listen now, faith opens what the devil has shut. Amen. Amen. Oh, I could get happy here. You see, Abram was now 99 years old. I'm approaching that, but I'm not quite there. Sarai was 90, and the devil was doing his demonic happy dance. He thought, I got it made. There ain't no 90-year-old woman going to have a baby. Ain't happening. And it's not happening for him either. So God said, I've got to change what's coming out of their mouth. Because 13 years earlier, they'd given up on ever having a child. And Sarai said, go into Hagar and just have a baby with her. 9 months later, out pops Ishmael. And God said, that wasn't my idea. So now, they were in Genesis chapter 17, and I want you to look at with your own eyes. And God said, neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. Notice the past tense, I have made thee. And Abraham means father of a multitude. Verse 15, and God said unto Abraham, you see, look at chapter 17, verse 1. When Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. But now verse 15, God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. In other words, you two can't call yourselves what you've been calling yourself for the last 9 decades. Yeah. From now on, you have to change what's coming out of your mouth to say this: our prayer is answered. Hello, mother. Yes. And she's got to say, hello, father.
Yes. Yes.
Every time you say, Abraham, come for dinner, you're saying, father of many nations, come for dinner. You're not allowed to say Abram anymore, because if you say Abram anymore, you're going to delay this thing. You're going to push the miracle into Tomorrowland. And the problem with Tomorrowland is you never get to it. Faith is always present tense, because God has acted. All right. Trying to help you out here.
Amen.
Now, this is strange. Turn to Romans 4, because this is actually the text. My title is Things That Be Not. That's on your handout. And I get that from Romans chapter 4, verse 17, which reads as follows: as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Well, now, you know who's just said that, because I just read it to you from Genesis 17. The Apostle Paul wrote Romans, and he's quoting what God said to Abraham, or Abram: I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead. And what else does he do? He calleth the things that be not as though they were. He does two things. What does God do? Number one, he quickens the dead. That means he makes dead things come alive. And Abraham's body was dead and Sarah's womb was dead. But hallelujah, he quickens the dead. What else does he do? He calls the things that be not as though they were. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, the calling causes the quickening. How does he quicken? He quickens by calling. And God wants you to adopt his ways. It wasn't enough for God to say, Abram, y'all just keep talking your Abram and Sarai stuff. I'm God, okay? I'll call you Abraham and Sarah because the angels know this is how I operate. I mean, after all, when it was dark and the earth was without void and without form and void, I didn't say, wow, it is dark out here. What did God say in the beginning? What are the first words recorded in the Bible that God said? Let there be light. See? So God didn't make jokes about how dark it was. He didn't say, you know, it's so dark I could cut it with a knife. He called for the desired end result. But when he comes to Abram and Sarai, he says, y'all have to participate with me in this. Otherwise, this is not going to happen.
Right.
You follow that?
Yes.
That's probably the reason why Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, was struck dumb.
Right.
Because he was a dum-dum. And he didn't realize that his words made his world what it is. The Bible says, Gabriel said to Mary in Luke chapter 1, I believe it's around verse 36, this is now the 6th month of her that was called barren.
Right, right, right.
So Zechariah would just go around saying, this is my wife, she's barren. This is my wife, yeah, she's barren. She's barren. She was called barren. Well, God, what was Zechariah doing? He was telling it like it is. He was using his words to describe the circumstance, to describe how he felt. She's barren. There's no hope. And God said to Gabriel, "Zip it, zip it for him."
Amen.
I could do a little poetry here. It may be hip to let your feelings rip, but it'll sink your ship.
So zip your lip.
So zip your lip until with truth you are equipped.
Yeah.
You like that? Okay. So what am I trying to say? Not have any feelings? No. I'm not saying that. You govern your feelings with spiritual reality.
Yes.
How about this one? Have you ever felt mad at someone? No. I know you all are sanctified. So I just talk to you because I know you're an honest person. What do you do when you feel mad? You say, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart, and I will be dominated by the love of God. Because if you say everything you feel, you could wind up in a fight.
Yeah.
Somebody might not like you and all that you feel. And I know different psychologists, not Christian psychologists, but does, you know, tell you to vent? You better be careful who you vent in front of.
That's right.
The person you vent in front of may, you know, not really like your venting too much. So it's better to say, I am born of God. I am born of love, and the love of God is shed abroad in my heart, and I'm going to be dominated and governed by that love. That's an example of calling the things that be not in the seen and felt realm as though they were, because in fact you are born of God. You're not pretending to be something you're not. You're not denying what is. You're giving voice to the unseen reality that's in your spirit. You are a child of God. You're washed in the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And God has put his love in there. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm trying to make this plain enough here. Let's go back to Psalm 103. This will bless you. Some of you love this verse. I know my wife loves Psalm 103, verse 1 to 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul. But I want to get to verse 7, but I'm going to start with verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. Well, you know, you could preach a sermon right there, and you just say, it's so important that you not be a complainer.
Yes.
And that's very true, because in a sense, what we're talking about is the power of our words.
Yeah.
And so if I complain, then I remain on that low level. But if I'll praise, I'll be raised to a higher level.
Yes.
So in order to get to a new level of living, I have to get to a new level of speaking.
Yes.
So I've got to exchange complaining for praising and thanking.
Right.
And so David said, I need to help my soul out. What has God done for me? He forgives all my sin. He heals all my diseases. He redeems my life from destruction. He crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercy, satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. That's usually where my wife stops. I'm not being critical. That's where she stops. And that's usually where I stop, but we're going to go on today. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Because
we were all oppressed.
Right.
And the judgment is rendered in your favor.
Amen. Thank God.
Jesus is our emancipator. His blood is what rendered the verdict in your favor.
Yeah.
The judgment is you get to go free because the blood of the Lamb of God was shed for you.
Amen.
So you can be free from all oppression. Now, verse 7. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. So you notice there in verse 7, you got ways and you got acts. The acts are the miracles. The children of Israel said, "Whoa! The Red Sea split, water's coming out of a rock, bread is coming down from the sky. We don't even need Walmart, praise God." I mean, hallelujah. Birds are being flown in. Well, God did fly in the quail. So they saw his acts. But Moses, what does it say? He knew his ways, which means God said, "Moses, I want to show you how I do this."
Right.
Remember I said, this is what I'm trying to get to. Calling the things that be not is one of God's ways.
Yes. Yes.
And he's saying to us, I need you to adopt my ways in order for me to be able to get the blessings to you that I desire and in order for me to pour through you the blessings that I have destined to pour through you.
Amen.
God is needing us to learn how he operates. And one of God's ways is to call the things that be not as though they were. Let me make it real simple for you, as simple as I can. If you pray a prayer and you ask God for something that's in line with his will, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to believe that you take it at that moment. And then you say amen because you're a pious person. Amen, praise the Lord. And then, you know, you start feeling for the answer and you don't feel it. You are looking for the answer. You don't see it. And instead of, now I'm just going to, this is how you're going to change. Remember, Pastor Brian's talking about the power of change. Instead of doing what I'm telling you, you just conclude, God didn't hear my prayer. He didn't answer it. You see, when you pray, if you pray in faith, you immediately have to start calling the things that be not as though they were. Otherwise, you just nullified your prayer. Let's say you spend some time, you pray for the pastor. You pray for the service. And then you say, well, I can't feel God here. God's not here. You've just canceled all your praying. It's like you just took a big eraser and threw it all away. Erased the whole thing. You've got to realize when you pray, you're not talking into the air. You're talking into the ear of your heavenly Father, and he hears you, and he answers you. And whether you see the answer or feel the answer in 5 seconds, you say, the prayer is answered. Thank you, Lord, my prayer is answered. And that is a very simple way of calling the things that be not as though they were, just saying, my prayer is answered.
Yes.
Well, do you have the money yet? No, but I know it's on the way. My prayer is answered.
Amen.
Well, what about the pain in your body? I'm not paying attention to that. I believe my prayer is answered.
Yes.
Well, what are you praising God for? I believe my prayer is answered.
Yes.
Well, why would you praise him if you still have pain? Because I believe my prayer is answered.
Yes.
Now, the devil's going to say, well, why don't you just wait until after the pain leaves and then praise God? But that'd be reversing how God works. God doesn't say, when you pray, ask me for something. Believe you get nothing. When I give it to you, then believe you have it. That's not what God says to do. He doesn't say, put the praising after it's all done. Anybody can praise God then. After you get $100, you say, ah, thank you, Jesus. But why can't you say thank you, Jesus, at the end of your prayer?
Amen.
The Lord wants to bless you. All right, I'm trying here.
Good stuff.
Where are my notes? Oh, well, this is a good thing. I thought of this. You'll like this. Because some of you need help. You know, this is all spiritual. So let's try to give you a natural example. Let's pretend for a moment that you have a dog. And, you know, you want to be a doer of the word. So you go home today and the dog is lying on your bed. Actually, he's on your pillow. And you remember this message, but you somehow misapply it. And you just say, I boldly confess, the dog is not here. And then your wife says, Fifi is right there on the pillow. Your dog's name is Fifi Le Pew. And you say, well, no, the pastor said, call the things that be not as though. He says, I say there is no dog. The dog is not there. And your wife says, no, I think you heard their message wrong. And so a bit of time goes by, and, you know, the dog runs outside, and you say, well, it's time for Fifi to eat. So you decide to pour some dog food in the dog bowl. You look around and there's no Fifi. You start to cry a little bit. Say, I wish Fifi were here. It'd be really nice if Fifi were here. I mean, I got this special food just for Fifi. And your wife tries to console you. And you just say, Fifi's gone. Fifi's gone. It's the doggone truth. Sorry, I had to do that one. Oh, where's my drummer? I needed a drum on that one. What does your wife do? Your wife says, honey, this is what the preacher said to do. Here, Fifi.
Yeah.
Here, Fifi. And, you say, no, 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 you can't say here, Fifi. Fifi is not here. Your wife says, you didn't get the message, did you? We know Fifi's not here. That's why we're calling for Fifi.
Right.
Here, Fifi. And all of a sudden, Fifi shows up wagging his or her tail. I don't know. I'm not a dog person, so I couldn't tell. You know, I don't know whether your dog's male or female is what I'm trying to say. It could be either one, whatever you like, okay? Here, Fifi. That's what we need to do. We say,
right.
Here, money.
Right.
Here, health.
Yeah.
Here, wisdom.
Yeah.
Here, protection. It's here.
Yeah.
Here. I say it's here.
Yeah.
Now, don't separate the natural from the spiritual. As if they have zero connection, because Jesus told parables
yes.
about the seed being the word of God. And so I just use Fifi Le Pew.
Right. Good.
Good. Oh, mercy. Turn to Luke 13. Let's try to we'll wrap this up here. And then we're going to practice this in a moment. And we're going to get you some stuff. Is that all right? Because we need to act on this and show you how this works in several concrete examples so your life can be changed in like the next 20 minutes.
Amen.
Are you in for that?
Amen.
All right, so I'm about done, but I got to give you this example. The Bible says in Luke 13, verse 10, and Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, verse 11, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. You have to understand, there is the devil. And then he's got thousands of demons under him, and some are unclean spirits, and some are spirits of infirmity. There are all kinds of different categories of demons. Don't need to get into that right now. Jesus has authority over all of them, and he gives you authority over all of them. But anyway, this spirit of infirmity had attacked her body. Remember, I told you in the beginning of this message that you're in the middle of an unseen battle that's been going on for a long time. You call it the battle of the ages. Well, here you are in whatever year this is, 2015, and you're right in the middle of it. But we're victorious.
Amen.
Now, what did Jesus say to this woman? In verse 12, when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, thou art," or we might say, "you are loosed from your infirmity."
Amen.
Now, she is doubled over. She'd been doubled over for 18 years. Her back has been killing her for 18 years. Does it say that, 18 years in verse 11?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 18 years. Now, that's pain. I don't know if you've ever had back. Has anybody beside me ever pulled a back muscle? You talk about pain. Oh, I mean, any pain is bad, but that's a bad pain. But he said to her, "Woman, you are loosed." Did she look loosed? How'd she look? She looked the opposite of loosed. She looked as unloosed as you could look. But Jesus said, "Woman, you are loosed." Well, is Jesus out of his mind? Is he lying? He's calling the things that be not as though they were. He's about to deliver this woman. But he's got to get her in present tense faith agreeing with him. Because when he then laid hands on her, she said, "I take my deliverance now." He didn't say, "Woman, you will someday be loosed." He said, "Woman, you are loosed right now." Jesus says the same thing to you and me right this day. When we draw into close contact with Jesus, he always comes to us. You are free. You've been battling some demon, you are free. You've been battling some addiction, you are free. You've been battling some sickness, you are free. He never says, "Well, in 20 years, when I get through with you teaching this." Remember, I said that with one of my friends out in Oregon, but somebody actually prophesied that to her. She was crippled up in a wheelchair, and they said, "Thus saith the Lord, when I get done teaching you whatever I want to teach you, I will heal you." And she died believing that lie. Mm. Listen, just because somebody says, "Thus saith the Lord," doesn't mean it's the Lord.
Hey. Amen.
You got to judge things in line with Scripture.
That's right.
And I don't care what utterance there is. If it doesn't line up with Scripture, throw it out.
Yes.
That's scriptural, too. It's from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5.
Right.
Okay. Everything we need for spirit, soul, and body is in Jesus. I'm done preaching. Let's pray. Now, I don't mean a religious prayer where I pray and you just sit there. This is this is what I'm going to call an appropriating prayer, an I take it now prayer, and then we're going to call stuff, all right?
Amen.
Let's start with this one. Does anybody beside me need wisdom?
Yes.
All right, good, I'm in the right place. The Bible says in James 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth liberally to all and upbraideth not, which means, and it shall be given him. In other words, he's not going to chew you out and say, well, how come y'all are so dumb? I mean, y'all make extraordinarily stupid decisions. God doesn't do that.
Thank God.
Thank God. Amen. Thank God. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask.
Yes.
So, all right, I'm going to ask for wisdom in just a second.
Yes.
Now, what am I supposed to do when I pray? According to Mark 11, verse 24, Jesus said, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive, believe that you take them. Remember, I said to you that faith is the hand that with which we take from God. So you're to believe that you receive wisdom so that you can make good decisions from now on. Now, wait, we're not quite done asking because I got to prepare you for how to talk after you get done praying. Because if you say amen and then you go out this afternoon and you say something like this, I'm as dumb as dirt. You've just canceled out what we're about to do.
Right.
You say, but I feel that way. I mean, I have a track record that proves that I am a numbskull in certain things. Well, that may be, but we're not talking about the past. We're talking about setting something new in line, just like when Abram and Sarah, they could have said, well, we've got 90 years of barrenness. And God said, we're not talking about the past. We're talking about a new thing right now.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So now Proverbs 7, verse 4 says, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. Some of you didn't even know you had a sister. You thought you were the only child. Well, that's your problem, see? You've got a sister. I actually only have an older brother, but now I found out I have a sister. It says, what does it say? Say unto wisdom. You're supposed to say something. Instead of saying, I am dumb as dirt. Why don't you say, I am wise with the wisdom of Jesus? The wisdom of Jesus is in me. I have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Well, have you made a decision yet? No, I'm just obeying the Bible at this point. Because I obeyed the Bible when I prayed for wisdom, right?
Yes.
And I believed I'd take it. I obeyed Mark 11, 24. And now I'm going to obey this and say, hey, sis. That's sure a good thing that I finally figured out that you're my sister. You understand there are two kinds of wisdom?
Mm-hmm.
If you read in James chapter 3, the Bible says there's a wisdom from beneath.
Right.
And it's full of strife and division and obliterates every good thing.
Right.
But then there's a wisdom from above.
Yes.
That's what you need.
Sure.
So when you get done praying, when we get done praying, you're going to say, wisdom, you're my sister.
Good.
That means we're tight.
We're
blood related,
amen.
And I don't make any decision without consulting the wisdom from above.
Amen.
I got Holy Ghost smarts.
Amen.
Now, again, that's before you decide anything. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then you say, that applies in every area of my life. It applies in how I treat other people, and it applies in how I drive my car. And I wish certain people in Atlanta would receive the wisdom from above. Because we got some loony people out here who do loony things, and I can guarantee they're not operating in the wisdom from above. I'm not talking about Royal. Don't look at him. No, I'm talking about myself. Hallelujah. Everybody say this. Say, come on, we're going to pray. Say this. Say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
you are my wisdom.
You are my wisdom.
Father God,
give me wisdom
in all my decisions,
in
how I handle money,
in
how I treat people,
in
how I use my time,
in
who I hang with,
in
who my friends are,
in
what books I read,
what
TV I watch,
how I drive.
Lord, give me your wisdom
in every area.
I believe I take it now.
I have it.
I take it.
I have it.
I thank you for it.
Wisdom,
you're my sister.
Hallelujah.
Don't you say anything other than that or contrary to that. Hallelujah. I receive your wisdom, Jesus. Amen. We all have decisions to make, and now we're going to make good decisions. And wisdom, in case you're wondering, wisdom leads to a lot of money. Amen. Bad decisions end up chasing money away. Now look at, let's do another one. Does anybody need help dealing with any kind of temptation in your life besides me? I guess that would be everybody here if you care to be honest, because if you're not dealing with any temptation, either you're in full-blown sin or you're dead. You know, all right, and the Bible says, now we're going to pray in just a minute, but the Bible tells us what to do here in Romans 6. It says, Romans 6:13 says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield ye yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. And so in Romans 12, verse 2, verse 1, it says, present your bodies to God a living sacrifice. Okay? So we're going to do that in a minute. But now in Romans 6, 11, it tells us what to say after we get done presenting. In other words, Lord, here I am. I'm going to wrap a red bow around myself. And here, I put my body on the altar. Romans 6:11 tells me what to say. Reckon, that means say, count that you are dead to sin and alive to God. In other words, you're as dead to sin as Jesus was dead when he died on the cross. That's dead. But then count yourself as alive to God as Jesus is alive when he rose from the dead. Well, when you're dead to sin, that means there's no response there. You know, you poke a dead bird or a dead animal in your yard. It's like, whoa, that's stiff. There's no response there. It's dead. Well, that's how we are to, what are we talking about? Things that be not. What do we do? This is what God, what we've usually done is stuff like this. Well, I tell you what, I'm just going to be honest. I have a problem with XYZ. Well, you may have been an addict or whatever for 40 years, but God says today you are loosed.
Amen.
Abram, I don't ever want to hear you say yourself Abram anymore.
Yeah.
That's history.
Yeah.
Today we make new history.
Yeah.
Abraham.
Yeah.
So what do you got to do? You've got to say from this day forward, I am free. I am dead to sin. I am alive to God. My life is hid with Christ in God. You say, well, what if I feel X, Y, Z? That's all the more reason to say it. Because if you go back to saying, I'm barren, I'm barren, I'm barren, God's going to say, I don't know if he'd pull his hair out or not, but he said, no, you got to stop that. You can't. What did I say? Right living, right believing, and right speaking open the door to the supernatural power of God. And when we come to the throne of grace, what do we ask for? We ask for two things. Mercy. Lord, I've sinned. It's me again, Lord. He says, I know, but I love you. My mercies are new every morning. But now receive my grace, which is the power of the Holy Spirit, so that you can be supernaturally dead to sin and supernaturally alive to everything good.
Amen.
Come to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. Grace is not just favor, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. There's an old hymn that's it's called Abide With Me, Fast Falls the Eventide. I won't get into all the particulars of it, but one verse says, what but thy grace can foil the tempter's power? I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power? What but his supernatural power working in us can foil the tempter's power? It's not our will. Our willpower is no match for sin. We'll go down every single time. But by grace, we can run. His grace is sufficient. His grace is enough so that we can whip the temptation and go and do the will of God. So let's pray. Say this. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I present my body.
I present my body.
A living sacrifice.
A living sacrifice.
It's yours, Lord.
It's yours, Lord.
I just picture in your mind, if you will, just wrap a big bow around your body. Tie it real pretty. You got a ribbon. Say, Lord, this is your present. My body belongs to you. My body is not for sin. My body is not for sin. My body is for the Lord. Amen. Say that with me. My body is for the Lord.
My body is for the Lord.
Say it with me. My body is for the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, say this. I take grace.
I take grace.
The power of the Holy Spirit.
The power of the Holy Spirit.
To live a holy life.
To live a holy life.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Let's thank him. He said, believe you receive. I believe I receive that grace. I believe I receive. My body is on the altar. I believe I receive his grace. And now I count myself dead to sin. Say it with me. I'm dead to sin. I'm alive to God. Say it again. I'm dead to sin. I'm alive to God. The past does not define me. The love of Jesus defines me.
The love of Jesus.
The mercy of God defines me. The grace of God defines me. I am not defined by my failures.
I'm not defined by my failures.
I'm defined by Jesus.
I'm defined by Jesus.
My life is hid with him.
My life is hid with him.
Hallelujah. 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 I walk with you, Lord. I walk with you, Lord. I walk with you, Lord.
Praise God.
You are free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God.
Thank you for the
blood.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. I thank you for the blood. There's forgiveness in your blood. There is forgiveness in your blood. There's forgiveness for me in the blood of Jesus Christ. And I take it now. There's forgiveness for me in your blood. There's cleansing in the blood. There's cleansing in the blood. There's complete cleansing in the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood washes away every stain. Hallelujah. There's not one sin that his blood does not cleanse. Hallelujah. Receive it right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I receive a fresh cleansing of your precious blood. I'm clean.
Clean.
Clean. Lift your hands and thank him. Thank you, Lord. I'm clean. I'm clean.
I'm clean.
Hallelujah. And I'll stay clean because I take your grace and I take your strength.
Thank you, Lord.
There's deliverance in the blood. There is deliverance for every captive. In the blood, there is present deliverance in the blood of Jesus Christ. There's deliverance in the blood.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
I speak over you right now. You are free from demonic oppression. In the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over you in the name of Jesus. And I say every foul, tormenting spirit that's come against you to oppress your mind and confuse your mind and lay you low, I break the power of that demonic spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I command you, foul devil, take your hands off of God's children in Jesus' name. Say this, say, Lord Jesus, you've set me free. I am free. I am free. Hallelujah. Thank Him. Come on with me. Thank Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I am free. I am free. Hallelujah. I am free. I am free. So do not talk about your mistakes and do not recite your failures. No, magnify the Lord. Speak not of what you've done, but of what He has done. Let Him be your praise. Let Him fill your words. For He is the living God, and as you testify of Him, He'll lift you up and reinforce in you the work that's begun. Hallelujah. So set a guard over your lips and do not go back to your old way of talking. Talking about your weakness and how weak you are and what a failure you've been. For the past is gone and should be forgotten. For I have begun a new work in you, says the Lord. So speak of that new work. Yes. For I am at work in you, both to will and do of my good pleasure. So don't, mikasana, don't be your own worst enemy and use your words only to describe what was. Partner with me, says the Lord. Adopt my ways as your ways. Amen. Speak of the things that be not seen and felt as though they already were. And I will cause them to become your experience. Hamahasoko. Let's thank God. We thank you, Father. You're faithful. You're faithful to perform your word as we take you at your word. We thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. There's one more. Some of you are waiting for a magic, as if Jesus has a magic pill that He can just give you and your problems will all be over. But Jesus does not work by magic. He works by faith. And He requires your intelligent cooperation. So do not sit passively and wait for a magic trick from the Son of God, because you'll never get it that way. But rise up and say, I am a believer. And I believe God. Yes. And I stand against the devil and he's tried to do against me. And I resist him and I won't give him an inch. I respond to Jesus, and I receive from Jesus all He gives. Let your words be in your favor. Use your words to your own advantage, and then I will use you to change this world. Can we thank God together? Thank you, Lord. Some of you might be disappointed that there's no magic pill, but I've given you something better than magic. This is no hocus pocus. This is no hyper faith nonsense I'm talking about. This is how God works. This is how Abram and Sarah got Isaac. Hallelujah. And by the way, Isaac means laughter. And so the devil was laughing, saying, oh, I've got it made now. There's no way they'll ever be pregnant, but Sarah got pregnant. At age 90, gave birth, named him Isaac, which means laughter.
Yes.
So that means you're going to have the last laugh when you walk in faith.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So you might as well laugh right now. Hallelujah. 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 Say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on, everybody, say it. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Say it. I'm blessed. I don't care how you feel. Say, I'm blessed. 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 What did Balaam say about the children of Israel? He said, God has blessed them and I can't reverse it. Don't you dare say I'm cursed. Don't you dare say that. Say I'm blessed. Blessed means God has supernaturally empowered you to prosper and do His will. Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Ephesians 1:3 says, He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He has done it. I have it. I take it. It's mine. I say it's mine. I am blessed. I am blessed. My children are blessed. My marriage is blessed. My money is blessed. My back is blessed. My legs are blessed. Hey, I'm blessed. My ministry is blessed. My books are blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed to be a blessing. Now I want to prophesy some more. I'm a vessel of honor. Hallelujah. You say, oh, you don't look like it. I am a vessel of honor. Everybody say it. I am a vessel of honor. Say it again. I am a vessel of honor. You're cleansed by the blood of Jesus. You like that? I am blessed. I am blessed. This is how God starts working that change in our life. I'm being changed from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad I came. I tried to get over to you how to call the things that be not as though they were, so that you can bring His blessings into your life. Now, by the uplifted hand, I believe everyone in here is a child of God, but you know that if you were to die, you'd go to heaven because Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Lift your hand. I want to see your hand. Your hand should be up. I prayed with you, brother. Your hand better be up. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. That's everybody. Lift your other hand and thank Him. My Lord, we just thank You. We're all saved here this morning. We're all saved. I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm serving Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God.
All right. Well, if it were just me, I'd preach for another 5 hours, but my wife says she's leaving, so I need to go home with her. Amen. I'm just teasing. She would stay. I think she would. Y'all probably wouldn't, but hallelujah. I mean, she just might say, honey, I just love the sound of your voice. Did you know that now the sermon's over, so I'm just